You may want to live for him, with him forever. But if you end the story
without the resurrection, like Thomas Jefferson did, cut that part off on the end. If you leave it there without the resurrection, all the whole early claim and life and teaching and all the things that Jesus did becomes pointless and falls apart. It no longer has any power or make any sense. If Jesus came to be the Savior and ends up staying dead, what did he save us from? What good is it? Evil and hate and death all still win. There is no victory. He is no Savior. All that we fear, you know, really, our fears can be summed up in that we grow sick, old, and die. Right? All of that still reigns, and we have nothing against it. All that is our fear, all that is bad, all that is evil within us is undefeated. Only with the resurrection does it not have the final word. Resurrected Jesus is alive because he comes to us today. And he says, because I live, you shall live also. You know, Christians die well. We face the same things that everybody else faces, but we die differently. It's because we have a hope that is in a resurrected Jesus. We have a trust amid our fear. We believe and know in our hearts that there is another life for which we are made, a real life that we will live. This is a temporary physical death. There is no real death over us. This life is not all that there is. We live with clear future hope. We die with that same hope carrying us. Paul says this to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians. We want you to know about people who have died so that you won't mourn like others who don't have any hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose, so we also believe that God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. See, Christians have hope, a special hope that carries them through the time of death. The Bible offers other proofs of Jesus' resurrection too. But at some point, you just need to take a leap. At some point, you need to stop the what-ifs and give him a try. If he's alive, then you'll experience him. When you do, it changes everything in your life. You don't just think it's true. You know it's true. I don't just believe this. I'm counting on it every day. Second major question about Jesus' resurrection. Does this mean Jesus was divine? Was Jesus really God? Many have claimed that Jesus was just a man. And if he was raised from the dead, he got lucky and then died again. And maybe people said he didn't really claim himself that he was divine, that these parts were added later by people who wanted him to be divine. Well, again, we found there's no real credible evidence that these texts were tampered with. And if you look at the historical accounts of how the Bible came out, it seems very unlikely that they were ever tampered with. Dating from about 25 years after Jesus' death, Paul writes in Philippians 2 that Jesus was God, who then took on human form. And most scholars believe here that Paul was quoting an early hymn or a creed that had been around a long time, predating this. So who knows? Maybe shortly after Christ's death and resurrection. The earliest Christians were certainly professing that Jesus was divine. This is not a later added on thought. Jesus also himself claims to be fully God. John's gospel says it in many ways. For me, I see in Jesus the nature, the character, the heart, the will of God. As I get to know Jesus through these stories, I'm seeing God. He's just so different, so amazing. He touches disease. He visits outcasts. He has concern and compassion for those who have sinned. He loves sinners. He has concern and love for broken people. He hates hypocrites, religious hypocrites. He does miracles. And doesn't that make sense? I mean, if God showed up in human form, ought there not to be some bursting out of miracles around? If God showed up? God has mercy and compassion, healing, forgiveness through Jesus Christ everywhere Jesus turns. He suffers for us. He's victorious. Jesus is the clearest picture of God there is anywhere. Not as a book, but as a person. Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Does this make sense? No. Can I prove it? I can't. But I can say that trusting in this Jesus has the power to change your life. At some point, you got to just give him a try. It's a decision of faith. It's a decision of trust. Last question about the resurrection. Who do you say Jesus is when you look at the empty tomb? When you look at the risen Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? If he is alive, what are you going to do with him? It comes down to this. How you answer this changes everything. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is, or the human one is?" They reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Simon, you are blessed. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, reason, argument, understanding, but by my Father in heaven. You are the Messiah, Son of the living God," Peter says. Messiah means Christ in Greek. In English, the word literally means the anointed one. And throughout the Old Testament, it usually referred to the kings. To call Jesus your king means to give him your primary allegiance. He's a crucified king who died for his people. Savior, in Hebrew, is pronounced Yeshua. It's translated as Jesus or Joshua. The name of Jesus literally means God saves. Yeah, God, Shua, Savior. Jesus saves us from our sins, from death, from hopelessness, from guilt, from the acts of sinning. Because of Jesus, we don't keep living the way we used to. Jesus changes us. changes who we are. Jesus has made me a different person. Thank God I'm not the selfish jerk I used to be when I started following Jesus 30 years ago. I still got some ways to go, ask my wife. I'm not the same person I was. I'm very different. Because of Jesus, I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better friend than I would have been. And I'm very different than who I used to want to be. I thought I knew what I wanted. And now when I look back, I call my earlier self a fool. And honestly, I like myself a lot better with Jesus. So after hearing all of these arguments and explanations, it ends up being a leap of faith. What are you going to do about Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? In the Bible, perhaps the earliest form of confession is Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9. It's so simple, but it means so much. To be Lord means to be, you know, your ruler, the one you seek to please in all things you do, the one who directs your life, tells you how to live. It means you live for Him, not for yourself or any other master. Confessing Jesus is Lord means telling Jesus every day, I'm yours today. I belong to you. Use me for whatever you want. No matter what story defines you right now, Jesus' story can become your defining story. Jesus has the power to change who you are, change your identity, to change what drives your life, to change your future. You're not stuck on the path you're facing right now. I invite you to put your trust in Jesus. It's a leap of faith. It comes down to this. Who do you say I am? If you want to give Jesus a try, use this simple confession here in your heart. Jesus is Lord. We're going to sing our closing song together. Julie, I want to invite you to come up. If you want to give Jesus a try, at some point while we're singing, just say it loud enough for you to say, Jesus is Lord. Make this confession your prayer. Say it. Sing it. Confess it in your heart. Answer the question.